وقالت اليهود عزير ابن الله وقالت النصارى المسيح ابن الله ذلك قولهم بأفواههم يضاهئون قول الذين كفروا من قبل قاتلهم الله أنى يؤفكون.
The Jews say, Ezra, Uzair is Allah's son. And the Christians say, the Messiah is the son of Allah. These are merely verbal assertions in imitation of the sayings of those unbelievers who preceded them. May Allah ruin them. How do they turn away from the truth?
The Jews say, Ezra, Uzair is Allah's son.
The Jews consider Ezra, circa 450 BC, to be the reviver of their faith. According to their tradition, it was Ezra who compiled the Torah and revived the law which had been lost in the dark period following the death of the prophet Solomon, peace be upon him. As a result of their captivity in Babylon, the Jews had become oblivious to their scripture, law, traditions, and national language, Hebrew. The Jews hold Ezra in great esteem for his revival of their faith. Some Jewish sects, however, revered Ezra to the point of deifying him, some even considering him the son of God. The above verse does not suggest that all Jews were guilty of this deification. It only points to the erroneous Jewish concept of God, which resulted in the appearance of certain groups within the Jewish community itself who held Ezra to be the son of God.
These are merely verbal assertions in imitation of the sayings of those unbelievers who preceded them.
The unbelievers of old refers to the Egyptians, Greeks, Romans, Persians, and others who had gone astray. Influenced by their thoughts, superstitions, and myths, both the Jews and Christians invented false doctrines.
اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله والمسيح ابن مريم وما أمروا إلا يعبدوا إلها واحدا لا إله إلا هو سبحانه عما يشركون.
They take their rabbis and their monks for their lords besides Allah, and also the Messiah, son of Mary, whereas they were commanded to worship none but the one God. There is no God but He. Exalted be He above those whom they associate with Him in His divinity. They take their rabbis and their monks for their lords besides Allah. As reported in a tradition, Adi bin Hatim, a Christian convert to Islam, once requested the Prophet, peace be upon him, to explain the import of the following Quranic statement. They, the Jews and Christians, take their priests and monks as lords apart from Allah. In reply, the Prophet, peace be upon him, asked him, "Is it not so that you consider unlawful whatever your priests declare to be unlawful, and consider lawful whatever your priests declare to be lawful?" Adi confirmed that such was the practice of the Jews and Christians. Thereupon, the Prophet, peace be upon him, told him that doing so amounted to taking them as lords apart from Allah. This means, according to the Quran, that those who declare things to be lawful or unlawful without sanction from the Book of God, in fact, place themselves in the position of God. Similarly, those who accept the right of such persons to make laws according to their will, take them as their lords. Both these charges against the Jews and the Christians, that they declared one person or another to be the Son of God, and that they invested human beings with the authority to make laws independent of revelation, have been mentioned in order to emphasize that their profession to believe in God was false. They might well be believers in the existence of God, but their concept of God is so erroneous that their belief is no better than disbelief.
يريدون أن يطفئوا نور الله بأفواههم ويأبى الله إلا أن يتم نوره ولو كره الكافرون.
They seek to extinguish the light of Allah by blowing through their mouths, but Allah refuses everything except that He will perfect His light, even though the unbelievers might abhor it.
أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون.
He it is who has sent his messenger with the guidance in the true religion, that he may make it prevail over all religions, howsoever those who associate others with Allah in his divinity might detest it.
That he may make it prevail over all religions.
The word used in the verse is al-deen, the way. In Arabic, this word signifies, as we have explained earlier, a way of life to which one subjects oneself because of one's belief that he who prescribed it enjoys supreme authority and is worthy of obedience. The verse explains that the purpose of the prophets was to establish the supremacy of the guidance and the right way revealed to them by God over and above all other systems of life. In other words, a prophet is never sent with a sanction to let the way of life revealed to him be subjected to other ways of life. Nor is a prophet sent to be content to exist at the sufferance of the false ways of life which hold sway over man's life. Since a prophet is the representative of the Lord of the universe, he seeks to make the right way prevail. If any other way of life continues to exist, it should be satisfied with the concessions made to it by Islam. For example, the rights granted to the Dhimis to enjoy the protection offered by Islam in lieu of jizya.
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الْأَحْبَارِ وَالرُّهْبَانِ لَيَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ النَّاسِ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَيَصُدُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ والذين يكنزون الذهب والفضة ولا ينفقونها في سبيل الله فبشرهم بعذاب أليم.
Believers, many of the rabbis and monks wrongfully devour men's possessions and hinder people from the way of Allah. And there are those who amass gold and silver and do not spend it in the way of Allah. Announce to them the tidings of a painful chastisement
and hinder people from the way of Allah.
The false pretenders to piety issued false religious decrees in return for pecuniary benefits, took bribes, accepted presents and offerings, and invented a variety of religious rituals that forced people to buy their salvation from them. They also extorted money from the people on every conceivable pretext, creating situations in which it would become impossible for people to escape their extortionate clutches, be the occasion one of birth, marriage, or death. People were made to believe that their fate was in the pretender's hands, that they could make or ruin you. Driven by pecuniary motives alone, they led people into error and engrossed them in it. Whenever a call for reform is made, such people are the first to oppose it and use every possible device to that wicked end.
يَوْمَ يُحْمَى عَلَيْهَا فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ فَتُكْوَى بِهَا جِبَاهُهُمْ وَجُنُوبُهُمْ وَظُهُورُهُمْ هَذَا مَا كَنَزْتُمْ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ فَذُوقُوا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْنِزُونَ.
On a day when they shall be heated in the fire of hell, and their foreheads and their sides and their backs shall be branded with it, and they shall be told, "This is the treasure which you hoarded for yourselves. Taste then the punishment for what you have hoarded."
إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها أربعة حرم ذلك الدين القيم فلا تظلموا فيهن أنفسكم وَقَاتِلُوا الْمُشْرِكِينَ كَافَّةً كَمَا يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ كَافَّةً وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ.
Surely the reckoning of months in the sight of Allah is 12 months, laid down in Allah's decree on the day when He created the heavens and the earth. And out of these months, 4 are sacred. That is the true ordainment. Do not therefore wrong yourselves with respect to these months. And fight altogether against those who associate others with Allah in His divinity, in the manner which they fight against you altogether. And know well that Allah is with the God-fearing.
Surely, the reckoning of months in the sight of Allah is 12 months.
Ever since God created the universe, the moon has unfailingly appeared every month in the form of a crescent and then completed its full cycle, ending with its disappearance from the sky. As a result of this, 12 months have always constituted a year. However, the Arabs, in accordance with their practice of nasi, increase the number of months to 13 or 14 to enable them to interpose in the calendar a sacred month, which they declare to be free of the restrictions they were required to follow during the sacred months.
Do not therefore wrong yourselves with respect to these months.
They were asked not to disregard beneficial considerations, for waging war in those months was prohibited, nor to wrong themselves by creating disorder during those days. The 4 months alluded to here are the months of Zulqadah, Zilhajj, and Muharram for Hajj, major pilgrimage, and Rajab for Umrah, minor pilgrimage.
In the manner that they fight against you all together.
The Muslims are told that they are free to fight in the sacred months if the unbelievers attack them. If the unbelievers fight unitedly against the Muslims in disregard of the sacred months, the Muslims may also unitedly fight against them.
إنما النسيء زيادة في الكفر يضل به الذين كفروا يحلونه عاما ويحرمونه عاما ليواطئوا عدة ما حرم الله فيحلوا ما حرم الله زين لهم سوء أعمالهم والله لا يهدي القوم الكافرين.
The intercalation of sacred months is an act of gross infidelity which causes the unbelievers to be led further astray. They declare a month to be lawful in one year and forbidden in another year in order that they may conform to the number of months that Allah has declared as sacred and at the same time make lawful what Allah has forbidden. Their foul acts seem fair to them. Allah does not provide guidance to those who deny the truth.
Make lawful what Allah has forbidden.
Nasi was practiced by the Arabs in 2 ways. A. In order to shed blood or to plunder or to satisfy a blood vendetta. Here they declared a sacred month to be an ordinary one and compensated for this violation later on by declaring one of the ordinary months to be sacred. B. With a view to harmonizing the lunar calendar with the solar calendar, the Arabs used to add a month to the lunar calendar. Their purpose in so doing was to ensure that the Hajj dates should consistently fall in the same season so that they were spared the hardship and inconvenience resulting from observation of the lunar calendar for the fixation of the Hajj dates. As a result of this practice, Hajj was performed once on its appointed date, the days on which the 9th and the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah truly fell, and then for the next 33 years it was performed on days which were fictitiously declared to be the 9th and 10th of Dhul-Hijjah. Allusion to this is found in the Prophet's address during the farewell pilgrimage. The time has returned to what it was when God created the heavens and the earth. By forbidding Nasi, a major step was taken to frustrate the principal purposes of the pre-Islamic Arabs. The first of these purposes involved quite obviously undisguised sin. It consisted in practice of legalizing what God had declared unlawful. By resorting to chicanery, the Arabs attempted to give their impious act a semblance of legality. As for the second purpose, viz. To keep the Hajj permanently fixed to the solar calendar, it might seem innocuous and beneficent at the first sight. In actual fact, however, even this purpose amounts to an act of rebellion against the law of God. God chose the lunar calendar in connection with the rites of Hajj for a number of reasons, one of which seems to be that man should accustom himself to following the law of God in all possible conditions and circumstances. To take the case of Ramadan, because it follows the lunar calendar, it falls in different seasons. Sometimes it falls in summer, sometimes in winter, and sometimes in spring or autumn. Men of faith, however, obey God in every season, in all kinds of weather conditions, and this provides them with excellent moral training. Similarly, as the lunar calendar is followed in determining the dates of Hajj, then this also falls in different years and different seasons. People, therefore, have to undertake long journeys in varying conditions to perform pilgrimage. This is certainly a test of their mettle and helps them acquire the capacity to remain steadfast in their obedience to God. Now, if for the sake of man's own convenience, be it in relation to tourism, business, or fun, the Muslims were to decide that Hajj and Ramadan should always fall during the pleasant seasons of the year, this would amount to rebellion against God. For some of God's purposes would be blatantly violated. Moreover, since Islam is a universal religion, it is inconceivable that a particular month of the solar calendar should be permanently fixed for pilgrimage or fasting. For some people would find it convenient, whilst others, traveling from other parts of the world, would find it permanently inconvenient. It is worth noting that the proclamation to abolish Nasi was made during the Hajj in 9 after Hijri, 631 CE. The following year, in 10 after Hijri, 632 CE, Hajj was performed on the appointed dates and in accordance with the lunar calendar. From that time onwards, Hajj has always been performed on its due dates.